Welcome to the PodCamp Toronto podcast. News and information about PodCamp Toronto.
February 21st and 22nd, 2009. Ryerson University, Toronto, Ontario.
With your hosts, Sean McGahey
and Tommy Valier. Welcome to PodCamp Toronto podcast number 17. He's Tommy Valier.
And he's Sean McGahey.
We've got a pretty interesting show for you this week. Bunch of new sponsors, some PodCamp chat, and we've got two guests sitting in with the band.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Tommy.
Hi, guys. So we've got Keith Burtis and Bill Dees both joining us this week for the episode. You can find their details, I guess. I know Keith Burtis is at keithburtis.com. Where's the best place to find you these days, Bill?
Dees.ca.
Dees.ca. Dees.ca.
So you're both coming up for PodCamp?
Wouldn't miss it for anything, Sean.
Absolutely. We'll be there.
Do you got anything interesting on the platter? Like, I don't know, wedding proposals or anything this year, Keith? How do you top that?
No.
I heard actually Keith is getting married this year at PodCamp Toronto. It's on the wiki and everything.
Is Jay Moonel able to perform weddings?
He might be able to.
When I asked Michelle if we could just do the planning wiki style, she didn't agree.
I wonder why.
I told her I have lots of friends that'll organize it for us.
The beauty of Web 2.0, right? It's all about collaboration.
Exactly.
Well, I guess we should get on to PodCamp.
That would be a good idea. I think we should probably start by reminding people how to find us. So the wiki you can find at podcamptoronto.org. Our blog is at podcamptoronto.wordpress.com. And the RSS feed for this podcast, which you likely already know if you've downloaded this, but it's feeds.feedburner.com/podcamptoronto.
Yeah, and we're just a month away from PodCamp, almost exactly a month, and we've got some new sponsors for you. We have a new gold sponsor, voices.com, which is a business out of London, and Bill, you said you were sort of familiar with them.
Yeah, they've also sponsored PodCamp London. They're local to me here. I've kind of talked, I'm big with all the Londoners on Twitter, so actually one of the bloggers and Twitter people that I've connected with works for the company and is actually, from what I understand, bringing some of them online. And I believe the founders may actually be coming out to London as well. I don't know about Toronto, but I think there's going to be some people from both, people from Voices at both events, which I was elated to get the information about PodCamp London. And then when I contacted back, she said that they were doing the same for Toronto, which only heightened my excitement. So, but yeah, they do voiceover talent. So it's kind of, you know, they're very much in market. So obviously if anybody's looking for voiceover talent, they do kind of a cool job. It's a bit of a job board type of thing for voiceover actors. So anybody who's doing kind of audio dramas or just looking for, you know, promos or bumpers or whatnot or intros and outros type of thing, apparently they provide a pretty good service for that stuff. So,
Bill, I think it's actually really similar to like wanting to hire a writer. I think there's some services out there that, you know, allow people to, you know, just hire somebody for like 1 or 2 hours or whatever and kind of bid on that and bid on the job. At least that's my, I haven't been to the site, but it's pretty cool. So, you know, for people that don't think that they could maybe afford voiceover talent or something for a podcast, you know, never hurts to throw in a bid and see what you can come up with.
I think the other thing that people can do is actually go there and sign up to be a voice actor and presumably actually maybe make some money doing it. So it can go both ways because it's not strictly professional talent, I don't think. It's not people who do that for absolute living and that's all they do. If you're looking for, you know, you want to spend an hour or two a week to make a little bit of money, I mean, a lot of people at PodCamp, I think, have more than enough gear to be able to pull off, you know, recording this stuff and getting it to people. So maybe something to look at from that end as well.
Our silver sponsor, new on board is Edelman Digital.
Wow.
And we also have a friend of PodCamp sponsor, IABC Toronto, has come on board as a friend of PodCamp.
Now, if you're listening to this and you'd like to get involved in sponsorship and join the absolutely incredible companies that have already stepped forward, you can find out more details on the wiki. Just click on the sponsorship link on the right-hand side, and that should get you the details you need to sponsor us.
And I believe that one of the principals from Edelman Digital is doing a session at PodCamp. The Edelman 2009 Trust Barometer. Rick Murray, a review and discussion of the findings from the 9th Annual Survey of the Sources of Trust and Trustworthiness Among Opinion Leaders Worldwide. So it's great that they're both sponsoring PodCamp and being represented there.
It's always good to see sponsors kind of get involved in the event rather than just handing over a check. Not that we don't mind the checks.
And it's one of the neat things that happens at on conferences, too, is that I'm sure that this presentation is part of their business practice, and I suspect that other places you have to pay a fair bit to hear this presentation, and he'll be doing it at PodCamp just like any other person by signing up on the wiki and getting a slot.
Yeah, now while we're on the talk of sponsors, we should probably mention the sponsor prize packages going on for the promo challenge that we still have underway. For those of you who haven't heard last week's episode yet or who have forgotten, we're looking for people who can make promos for PodCamp Toronto. Anything really will work. We're looking specifically for audio, but you know, if you want to do video, that's cool too. You need to make sure that you have everything really important about PodCamp. So the fact that it's PodCamp Toronto 2009 is taking place February 21st and 22nd at the Rogers Communication Center at Ryerson, and that it's free, and the fact that it's free is made possible from the sponsors. Now, Griffin Technologies is providing kind of swag bags of sort, gift packs worth about $125 each, and we're going to be making four random drawings from all of our promo contributions, and we're going to give you guys swag bags at PodCamp.
Now, and how many entries are there so far?
So far, I have done a promo. And I must say that as an organizer, I'm not putting my name in for the draw.
But so chances are pretty good.
So yeah. Chances are pretty good right now that if you enter something, you will win it. Things have been a little slow getting started, but hopefully that'll pick up soon.
I actually have heard from an elite, a member of the Montreal podcasting elite, and I'm not saying who that is. We can leave people guessing. But this person had a really interesting idea for a promo, and I hope that I get it so that I can share it with you guys, because it's going to be pretty cool.
So we're sending all the promos to you, Sean?
You can send them to the PodCamp Toronto Gmail address, which is pcto2009@gmail.com.
Well, I might be up all night working on something then.
Oh, awesome. Great to have you. Last week we called out by name Stevie Z and Brian Hogg from Dot Boom because I really think we need a ranting puppet promo, quite frankly.
We may just have to take a converge in the KW Guelph area on the two of them and see what happens.
Fair enough. And while we're calling people out by name and sort of calling on their pride as podcasters, John Meadows.
Oh.
Scarborough Dude.
Sean laying down the smack this week for entries.
Catherine Matthews. How am I doing?
I'd like to see Bob and Mark get together and do one.
That would be awesome.
Actually, what I would like to see is someone come out of left field and do something that no one expects.
That'd be good, too. So if you have not heard your name yet on the PodCamp Toronto podcast calling you out for a promo, that's your chance to kind of sneak in here and surprise us.
And I'll say this, if anybody's in the London area and needs some help doing it, I'll help them, and we'll get something in. We'll work out the details later.
Well, yeah, but I'm of the understanding that the Griffin swag bags may contain more than one item. So if a group of you were to do it, it wouldn't be like you'd have to saw an iPod charger in half or anything.
Yeah, now I've seen some of the items, and I don't want to comment on what specifically is in the swag bag, but a number of the items in a number of the swag bags are things that I actually own and use on a regular basis, some of which daily.
Right. So it's time to pin Dave Delaney, huh?
And actually, Dave's coming up to present at PodCamp as well. He's got a he's got a session about Twitter. I think he's calling it 140 characters to better brands or something along those lines.
No way. Yeah. Dave Delaney talking about Twitter.
No, never.
Has he just made up with Twitter after that fiasco this summer? I guess so.
I think so. They're on a love fest again.
Well,
that was just bizarre.
Dave and Twitter sitting back in the tree.
If anyone's listening, Twitter got a little bit overzealous on a spam clear out on a Friday evening of a long weekend this summer, and they deleted the accounts of several of their most ardent supporters and evangelists, including Dave Delaney and our own organizer Connie Crosby.
It certainly made for an interesting weekend watching everyone on the Get Satisfaction boards for Twitter commenting about what was going on.
Dave has done more for word of mouth for Twitter than most people I can think of.
Yeah, he did a podcast. Can't remember the name of it off the top of my head now, but
he
did a
show.
The Nothing Show.
Yeah, he did a Nothing Show.
I missed the Nothing Show.
Very funny. Very funny with
Tim Coyne.
Tim Coyne at the Hollywood Podcast, yeah.
I missed the Nothing Show.
Yeah, it was
that
a
one
good
always
one.
After I listened.
It's actually a show about nothing. It sounds vaguely familiar.
The Seinfeld of podcasting.
All right, so from podcasts to PodCamp, I suppose, we can transition back. There's something that I actually sent out to the Facebook group this weekend. If you haven't found us yet on Facebook, you can do so at tinyurl.com/PCTOFB and fan us up on Facebook. There's a bunch of sessions that are still missing. One of the beauties of organizing via the wiki is that people can actually sign up for sessions and say that they want to host sessions, but also they can request a session. So the three that are currently on there is one, somebody, Bill and... actually Bill on the show here, and Colin Carmichael are both looking for somebody to teach them basic to moderate stuff in Final Cut Pro, or sorry, Final Cut 4. Connie has added...
I think Dave Fleet may have found me somebody for that, but I haven't sent him an email yet, and I have to get off my butt and do that.
Okay.
Please do, because that would be a cool session.
It would be a good session. Connie's asking for somebody to teach Audacity, and I'm looking in your direction, Sean.
You know what? Speaking of procrastinating, I've been thinking of seeing if Bob Goyette would co-host something like that with me.
You know, Bob did a session on Audacity at the very first PodCamp Ottawa, and it was the only session that was allowed to use technology. The whole rest of the day, PodCamp Ottawa is very known for not allowing technology to be present. And that was the only session that was allowed a laptop, and it actually went over really well, and I've been using Audacity for years, and I walked away learning stuff. So,
well, I'll tell you, last year at the Zero to Podcasting at PodCamp Toronto, I went in and just sat down. Now, of course, I was a little bit beyond Zero to Podcasting, but I just sat in and enjoyed the vibe, and they had a really good thing going there with the whole weekend session teaching people from square one. And anyway, Bob is doing a little bit of they're editing the podcast, the one-minute podcast that they had recorded. And Bob is whipping back and forth in Audacity and showing them how to edit. And all of a sudden, I slap my forehead and I start saying, oh, because he pushed a button I had never paid attention to. And all of a sudden, he's moving files like butter. And it basic functionality that in 2 years of daily use I had never explored. And it just, I must say that that one button push revolutionized the way I cut audio.
You should do a session on that, Sean, because I'm working on another podcast project that you'll see next week that I have to edit for. So I might be sitting in on that session.
Bill D said the E word. Everybody, did you hear that? He said edit.
Hey, guys, I have a suggestion. John Meadows and I were talking the other night about some of these sessions that were wanted. And some of the things, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily come to the wiki and they want to see something. And in my experience, there's quite a few open rooms at times at PodCamp Toronto. I don't really see any reason why someone couldn't throw something up on the wiki and have just sort of like a free-form session. I'm speaking this year on something I call the social media funnel. And a lot of people have asked me why I wasn't doing my art session. And I guess we're looking at possibly doing just something, you know, kind of in a hallway or whatever with some people that are interested in art and social media. So everyone's, you know, that's what the wiki's there for. So throw up what you want and, you know, use Twitter or whatever during the event and get people together to talk about whatever you want. You know, Chris Brogan said at PodCamp Boston 3 that if you walk away from PodCamp and you haven't learned what it is that you came to learn, that it's basically your fault. You know, everyone is there to help out, and we have all the media channels, and Ryerson is super, super wired. So, and you know, you've got 2 feet and a mouth, and there's always people that are willing to help. So,
yeah, as far as rooms go, we haven't finalized the confirmation of the rooms that we're using yet. I think we're going to be using more rooms than we were last year. Just looking at the number of registrations this year, it's looking to shape up to be a bigger event than last year. So we likely will have rooms with openings, but that'll all get announced shortly. I will put the
and after all,
block
we have
up
to
and
find,
let people book rooms.
Have to find space enough for a whole football team.
Yes.
Keith didn't hear that last week because he didn't listen to the podcast last week. Oh, well, some people do listen to us. Manchester United is coming to PodCamp Toronto.
do you think Rogers, if we're in the Rogers Communication Center, I think they'd lend us the soccer field too. We could get the whole thing set up.
There we go. So, yeah, but actually, this is a good time to remind people that we did have some trouble with the registration pages on the wiki, with people very obviously altering wiki entries.
I actually had to take Madonna out this week.
You took Madonna out? Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Madonna was apparently coming for about... I spotted it about 4 minutes after it was edited, and... I had to take Madonna out. So, yeah, we definitely need help on the wiki. So if you see something that looks odd, links where they shouldn't be or names where there shouldn't be, then feel free to just, you know, hop in there and edit that out for us. We also need help with someone who's willing to run an equipment swap room. This is something that's been talked about amongst organizers I've heard of at several PodCamps. And it's something that came up amongst the organizing team here at PodCamp Toronto, I think last year, after the event finished. And it's essentially just a space where people who want to sell or give away their current gear, they can. It's more of a swap meet type idea. So if you wanted to give somebody a mixer, somebody could show up and say, hey, I'm looking for a mixer. I don't have any money. Can I have a mixer? Or you can sell your
equipment.
Yeah,
if somebody wanted to give me a Heil PR40, I would take it.
You know, maybe somebody's got one that they've covered in spray paint and they don't want it anymore. And but essentially the place would just, we're looking for someone who wants to run the room, try and organize people within the room. We're certainly willing to reserve space for an event kind of like this. You don't have to deal with the financials. You don't have to deal with the actual swaps. Just kind of be there and supervise the room, make sure everything is going smoothly, and pair people up as you see them somebody says, hey, I'm looking for a mixer, you can say, hey, that guy over there had a mixer that he was looking to get rid of, and kind of be the facilitator. So
yeah, so the, can... like now ski clubs have done this for years and years. Your kid's outgrown their skis, come in October to our ski swap and get a pair of skis. And with podcasters, we gather our equipment all over the place, and some of it's kind of esoteric. So this is a great opportunity to talk with someone, first of all, who has loved the equipment. And so, you know, it'll be reasonably, it may be well used, but it will be well taken care of too. And you'll be talking to people who know how to use it.
They can give you a bit of a primer.
Think of this one, guys. We have a nice wiki set up. Can we get a page on there that people can arrange a little bit beforehand and maybe save somebody sitting there for 2 days?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll set that up. I'll set that up by the time the show goes live. We'll throw a link to that in the show notes page. And if somebody's willing to run the room, certainly let us know. PCTO2009 @gmail.com, or just edit the wiki, either the swap page or the sessions wanted page.
If there's a swap page, they can perhaps say, you know, I'm willing to sit there from 9 till noon on Saturday or something.
Yeah, I'll schedule that session.
Yeah, it might make sense just to schedule it as one session during the weekend.
Yeah, and if you want to swap or go there that room that time, everybody's going to be there.
So that's something to think about.
And I'll tweak the idea a little before the show goes live.
Bill mentioned as well, this is organized on a wiki. If you have a need to bring to the PodCamp community, or people who are looking for rides from out of town, or other needs, set up a side page on the wiki. We're not against that. That's part of organizing a conference, and it's part of the openness. The community organizes this event. There is an organization team. We're keeping our handle on making sure that everything's there that's needed, but you are the event. If you have a need, go ahead, use our resources.
Now, one other thing that we've linked on the wiki that actually Jay Mooner, I believe, put together, but it's also open for edits, is the PodCamp Toronto 2009 Hotels and Restaurants Map, which you can find off the front page of the wiki. Well, you haven't got it in the sidebar yet, but I'll update that. It's actually just a Google map. It shows where the location of PodCamp is. It shows the two hotels that have very kindly offered up discounted rooms this year. And then it has all sorts of restaurants and bars and all of that kind of stuff highlighted on there as well. So you can kind of zoom in, figure out where you want to go for lunch, where you want to go for dinner, where you want to meet people for drinks, that kind of thing. And if you just go to, like I said, podcamptoronto.org, find the map link right on the front page, and you can certainly edit that on Google and add whatever you know is around and help out that way.
Now, we're recording this on the 20th of January, which is in fact the cutoff day for our two hotel deals at the Comfort Suite City Center and the Novotel Toronto Center. But if you miss the cutoff day for our special rates, don't despair. Call the hotels, see what they can do for you. Or there's a number of other hotels listed on our blog page and on the wiki.
I will say, from experience, it's definitely worth, I think, spending the money. If it's $10 or $20 or $40, $50 more to stay at one of the hotels where most people are staying, I personally think it's worth it. I've had, on occasion, had problems getting a cab ride back to certain hotels from certain hotels, just dealing with hours that I know some people are up to. Boston was a nightmare trying to get, because it was like three different hotels, and at 4 a.m, it's not easy to get a cab. I think it's worth, staying one floor away from where everybody else is partying. So there's definitely some value in staying at the kind of place where the central location where everybody is. So that's my two cents, anyways.
I gotta say the Comfort Suites, which is just a stone's throw away from Ryerson there. I think that's where you and I stayed last year, right, Bill?
Yep.
Comfort Suites. Yeah, so I think it's also the best deal in town if you get in there on, if you get in there before the deadline. And I think it was actually listed at, $119 on the site, but I actually got in at $109. So
And to tell you the truth, even that hotel is probably one of the cheaper ones in downtown Toronto, even without a special rate. It's right. That's a great hotel. You know, they're great hotels. Frigid, microwave in every room. Hot, you know, make your own hot breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, they got a safe in there that your laptop will fit in. That's nice.
And it's only two blocks away from Ryerson, so.
And I actually, you know, I didn't stay at the hotel. I actually have family in Toronto that I stay. But I was at the Comfort Suites. I visited, I believe it was your room last year, Bill. Was it your room I was in on Friday night of last year?
I think so.
Party started at your place. And, you know, I wasn't there long. I was just there to say hello to everyone. Stories don't get repeated. But I really enjoyed, you know, the Comfort Suites seemed like a nice enough place. I went in, I asked them where I was going, like where the elevators were. They seemed like real friendly people down there. So,
it's a great hotel, nice and close.
Well, it was great to go down to breakfast and sort of have podcaster breakfasts.
We kind of take over the breakfast area, you know, a half hour before PodCamp. Everybody's, you know, from very late nights of hanging out with everybody, dragging themselves down to grab a, you know, at least a cup of coffee for breakfast.
And this podcast brought to you by the Comfort Suites.
and of course, we can't. We've stressed too the Novotel City Center, who contacted us, who saw value in reaching out to us, and a number of our sponsors have done that. We're starting to see that PodCamp Toronto is an event that businesses want to be associated with.
That's and I will great. Say. There's probably going to be, even at the Novotel, and I've stayed at the Novotel, it's a fantastic hotel as well. It's closer to some of the kind of entertainment district area where everybody's kind of probably going to be going for dinner, and there may be a party down that way as well, at a bar or restaurant or something somewhere. So that's probably not a bad area too if you want to go to the party and you want to bail pretty quick.
Speaking of where the party is, we have no idea where they're going to erupt this year. Last year, if I recall correctly, we all thought everyone was going to one location, and within about 5 minutes of walking from Ryerson to the Eaton Center, the meetup and party location changed, I think, a dozen times. And,
well, it was bizarre. My wife and I are basically cell phone Luddites. We have a pay-as-you-go cell phone, so we just sort of latched on to someone who had Twitter on their phone and wouldn't leave them because it was changing so rapidly.
One thing that you're going to, if you're coming to PodCamp Toronto, follow Twitter. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/PodCampToronto. And watch for the tag, especially that weekend. Track the tag PCTO09, and you can stay up to date on all the latest that weekend. So,
and for anybody who's not into it, find somebody who is. Find one of us and you know, get a phone number or something, and we'll point you where the party is that night.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll find, especially speakers, if you don't think you're going to be all up on Twitter, or you don't have a cell phone, or you don't like Twitter for whatever reason, if you talk to especially the session leaders, people who are leading sessions, people who are going out there and introducing themselves to the community, or any one of the organizers or volunteers, most of us are going to be well enough connected that we're willing to give you a phone number, our phone number. We're willing to text message you and let you know what we know when we know it. Or you can just, you know, a lot of times you'll just see people following people around like Sean does and latches onto someone who has Twitter on their phone or their BlackBerry or something and just follows them along and gets all the latest information that way. We're PodCamp attendees as a rule are a pretty open bunch.
And this is something we can discuss further that as Ryerson University and the Rogers Communication Center are extremely well connected. And there is a portion of the conference that goes on in the cloud, online. Now, we could have a discussion about that later on, and I think we probably should have an extended discussion because it's really important to reach out to the people who are there and meet face-to-face because that's why we go to these conferences. But there is a good online component, too, as it's going on. It's something to think about, that some of the conversation is going on in the cloud.
Especially the meetups and the locations. I know, like Bill and Tommy were saying, that last year on my way from Ryerson to the hotel, it changed. And then when I was in the hotel, it changed. the location for dinner. And then in the hallway and on the way down the stairwell, it changed, and I was lucky to have a mobile device.
That's how you and I hooked up before we went out for dinner the one night, isn't it, Keith?
I think so, yeah.
I was twittering about what room I was in.
Yeah, and you said you were a floor down from me, so.
Yeah, and just
I was crazy enough to give up a room.
I know that the entire Toronto downtown core is wired for Wi-Fi, and there's a limited amount of free access. They have a few common web pages that you can access for free, but for a few bucks for the weekend, you can log on and have Wi-Fi. So if you're a hand-me-down technologist like I am, and I have a hand-me-down Palm TX, I may spend a few bucks to use the citywide Wi-Fi for the weekend and just have my Palm TX and know that I can connect wherever I am.
That's good for us coming in from the States, because we don't want to deal with the Canadian text rates and SMS rates and that type of thing.
Those of you with your iPhones could connect using Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's good.
We have one other thing, just a couple other things we wanted to cover, and our show's just pushing over the half hour here. One is our volunteer coordinator, Connie Crosby, has sent a shout out to anybody who's already volunteered for PodCamp, because we rely on our volunteers. And if you're interested in volunteering on the weekend or contributing something leading up to PodCamp, just go onto the wiki at podcamptoronto.org. Oh, it's podcamptoronto.pbwiki.com/volunteers.
Yeah, the volunteers are really what makes PodCamp happen. I mean, the group of us that are kind of the core, if you will, organizing team can't be everywhere. We can't run the registration desk all weekend. We can't help everyone. So we really do rely on the volunteers. And so if you can head to the wiki and sign up, we've actually had people sign up on the volunteer page I spotted before they registered, which was kind of fun to watch. And we've got just about 24 people on there right now. But if you are willing to volunteer, certainly just let us know when you can help out. If there's a specific session you don't want to miss, let us know that kind of stuff too. And we'll schedule things in as needed.
Can I throw one thing in there on you, Sean?
Sure, Keith.
I know that John Piercy has actually signed up to help out with the organizing and help out on the weekend. And I just wanted to make a note to the sort of community that his mother just passed away. And, maybe throw him a tweet or just a little email or something just to let him know you're thinking about him.
Oh, and certainly our condolences from here.
Of course, yeah. Never good to hear news like that.
Now, tonight, it just happened that Bill and Keith were online just as Tommy and I were about to record this podcast over Skype. And so they asked if they could sit in with the band, and we were glad to have them. But we did enjoy last year over TalkShoe opening up to the wider community. So for the next PodCamp Toronto podcast, we're going to take it to TalkShoe on Sunday, the 25th of January at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Tommy, you're going to set that up for us, and when we publish the show notes, the link will be on them.
Yeah, you can find the link on the PodCamp Toronto blog with the show notes for this episode. If you haven't used TalkShoe before, it's pretty straightforward. You can use Skype with their Skype Out service, or you can dial in straight from the website, or you can use your phone and just call in from a landline. There's lots of ways to connect in. It's essentially a big conference call, and there's a chat room going on, and it's usually a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with it last year.
And if you just want to listen as it's going on and participate in the text chat, that's fine too. But the beauty of TalkShoe is to be able to call in and join in on the conference call.
Yeah, now you don't need to be a member of TalkShoe to participate. You can do this anonymously, but we encourage you to sign up at TalkShoe so that you can get your screen name and we can identify you by name when you call in.
One other link that we can add is Castro is really cool for setting up channels. And one thing that we've set up is a channel for PodCamp Toronto. If you go to castroller.com, that's castroller.com/channels/ PCTO09, which is obviously the tag for PodCamp Toronto. What you'll get is it's a basically, or you need to add /feed on the end of it. You'll get a feed of all of the podcasts for everybody that we can find that is going to PodCamp Toronto.
Oh, wonderful. So I set something like that up myself on collectic.com last year, and it's great that it's great that someone else other than me is setting it up. That's awesome. And CastRoller is a great tool. I haven't checked out the new version.
One thing that we're looking at, we're watching the wiki page fairly regularly to update it. If everybody links to their podcasts from there, it'll make our life a lot easier to be able to keep that up to date. Basically, the cool part is you can actually hear stuff from the people before you go. So you have a bit of an idea of you know, some people that are going to be there. And one thing, it's launching next week. Unfortunately, right now, the only thing public is the feeds. You can get to the feed by going there. Aside from that, by about middle of next week, which actually January 27th is launch, you can go to castroller.com and sign up and check it out. And if you go to channels /PCTO09 on CastRoller, at that point you'd be able to actually see all the podcasts and basically get the full goodness of what we've been developing as CastRoller.
That is fantastic, and I haven't looked on the wiki. Is Will coming as well to PodCamp Toronto this year? I know he's been
absolutely
every year.
Is. Yep. Actually, him and I are sharing a room, so I'm picking him up. I'm making sure that he's going to be there.
Oh, that's great. And thank you so much for doing that. I will definitely put a link to the podcast feed on the PodCamp Toronto blog. And if we can get the RSS feeding so that you can see right on the blog, you'll see the most recently updated shows from PodCampers.
Yeah. I've personally subscribed to that feed. I've been watching watching some stuff. It does audio and video, so everything comes through. It's kind of cool to see, you know, stuff that, because there's a lot of people going to PodCamp that I don't know about, that I think a lot of people don't know about, that they can see. There's currently right now there's 52 podcasts listed under there. So if you're on the wiki,
well, I've got 3 of them, and you've got 3 of them, don't you, Bill?
2 right now.
Oh, okay.
There'll be another one next week. So it's a cool way to discover new stuff, to meet some new people before you get there. You know, a little bit about people before you get there. I'm really digging it.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for sharing that. I think we're done for this week. Lots of great stuff happening. Join us on TalkShoe on Sunday, January 25th at 7 p.m. Got anything more up your sleeve, Tommy?
No, that's about it. I suppose we can recap how to get a hold of us real quickly. The wiki is, of course, at podcamptoronto.org. The blog is at podcamptoronto.wordpress.com. I'll skip the RSS feed, and you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/podcamptoronto. Facebook is tinyurl.com/PCTOFB, and email is PCTO2009@gmail.com. Remember to tag anything you're talking about when you're talking about PodCamp Toronto with PCTO09 so that we can find it easily.
And please send us your promos. The more the merrier. We're a community of creators. And there's great swag.
There is. And both Sean and I have seen the list of what's going on in the Griffin prize packs. And they're really good prize bags. It really wouldn't matter which one you end up getting. They're a bunch of great prizes.
So thank you, Tommy. We'll catch you later on in the week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be talking soon, I'm sure, and we'll see everyone on Sunday, hopefully, for the live version of this podcast. Have a great week.